भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Chapter 12, text 6, 7.
Okay. So we read text 7. Tesham maham samudharta.
Tesham maham samudharta.
Mrityu samsarasagarat.
Mrityu samsarasagarat.
Bhavami na chiratparta.
Bhavami na chiratparta.
Mayavesita-cetasam
Mayavesita-cetasam
Tesamaham samudhartam Mrityu-samsara-sagarat Bhavami-na-chirat-partam Mayavesita-cetasam
Tesham maham samudhartam
Mrityu samsara-sagarat Bhavami-na-chirat-partam Mayavesita-cetasam Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Paraparamahansa, Parivrajakacharya, Ashtotara Satasi Simane Si Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. For one who worships me, giving up all his activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, who has fixed his mind upon me, O son of Prita, for him I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Please repeat. For one who worships me, giving up all of his activities,
unto me,
and being devoted to me,
without deviation,
engaged in devotional service,
and always meditating upon me,
who has fixed his mind upon me,
O son of Prita,
For him,
I am the swift deliverer
from the ocean of birth and death. Krishna is so kind. Quickly, not even slowly, very quickly. Here, it is explicitly stated that the devotees are very fortunate to be delivered very soon from material existence by the Lord. In pure devotional service, one comes to the realization that God is great and that the individual soul is subordinate to Him. His duty is to render service to the Lord. If not, then He will render service to Maya. As stated before, the Supreme Lord can only be appreciated by devotional service. Therefore, one should be fully devoted. One should fix his mind fully on Krishna in order to achieve Him. One should work only for Krishna. It does not matter what kind of work one engages, but that work should be done only for Krishna. That is the standard of devotional service. The devotee does not desire any achievement other than pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His life's mission is to please Krishna. And he can sacrifice everything for Krishna's satisfaction. just as Arjuna did in the battle of Kurukshetra. The process is very simple. One can devote himself in his occupation and engage at the same time in chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Such transcendental chanting attracts the devotee to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Lord herein promises that He will, without delay, deliver the pure devotee thus engaged from the ocean of material existence. Those who are advanced in yoga practice can willfully transfer the soul to whatever planet they like by the yoga process. And others take the opportunity in various ways. But as far as the devotee is concerned, it is clearly stated here that the Lord Himself takes him. He does not need to wait to become experienced in order to transfer himself to the spiritual sky. In Divaraha Purana, this verse appears. Nayami paramam stanam achidadikachimbina gorudra skandam aropya jatecham anivaritha. The purport of this verse is that the devotee, he does not need to practice Ashtanga Yoga in order to transfer his soul to the spiritual planets. The responsibility is taken by the Supreme Lord Himself. He clearly states here that He Himself becomes the deliverer. A child is completely cared for by his parents, and thus his position is secure. Similarly, a devotee, he does not need to endeavor to transfer himself by yoga practice to other planets. Rather, the Supreme Lord, by His great mercy, comes at once riding on His bird carrier, Garuda, and at once delivers the devotee from this material existence. Although a man who may have fallen to the ocean may struggle very hard and may be very expert in swimming, but he cannot save himself. But if someone comes and picks him up from the water, then he is easily rescued. Similarly, the Lord picks up the devotee from this material existence. One simply has to practice the easy process of Krishna consciousness and fully engage himself in devotional service. Any intelligent man should always prefer the process of devotional service to all other paths. In the Narayaniya, this is confirmed as follows. Yavai shadana shampati purusharta chatushtai tayabhinatat apnoti naro narayanashraya. The purport of this verse is that one should not engage in the different processes of fruitive activity or cultivate knowledge by the mental speculative process. One who is devoted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead can attain all the benefits derived from the other yogic processes, speculation, rituals, sacrifices, charities, etc. This is the specific benediction of devotional service. Simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A devotee of the Lord can approach the supreme destination easily and happily, but this destination cannot be approached by other processes of religion. The conclusion of Bhagavad Gita is stated in the 18th chapter. Sarva danam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja aham tam sarva pati bhyo moksha ishami ma suchah. One should give up all other processes of self-realization and simply execute devotional service in Krishna consciousness. That will enable one to reach the highest perfection of life. There is no need for one to consider the sinful actions of his past life, because the Supreme Lord fully takes charge of him. Therefore, one should not futilely try to deliver himself in spiritual realization. Let everyone take shelter of the Supreme Omnipotent Godhead, Krishna. That is the highest perfection of life. Om Agyananti Minandasya Janan Janan Chalakaya Shakyuru Minitam Dina Tatsmaya Sri Kriya Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Bharathara Shivashani Gauru Bhakta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 No, it's okay. So, very nice verse and purport here. This chapter is called Devotional Service. And here, devotional service is being explained very directly and explicitly. Krishna is speaking here. Because Arjuna is just asking the question, what is better, Krishna, those who worship your form or one of those who worship your unmanifested impersonal form? And Krishna answers, no, one who worships my form is much easier for him. To follow the impersonal path is very difficult. So now he's telling how to worship. Arjuna is saying, what's the best? Now Krishna is saying, yes, this is one who worships me, giving up all of his activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, who has fixed his mind upon me, O son of Prita. For him I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So Krishna is promising here that I will personally come and deliver that devotee from the ocean of birth and death. We're all struggling in this ocean of birth and death. Struggling. Everybody thinks they are doing okay, but actually everyone is struggling. Material existence means a hard struggle for existence. That's all. And everybody is struggling. And a few intelligent people try to get out of this struggle for existence. And they're taken to different paths, Kama Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. But here it's pointing out that these paths are very difficult also. Why are they difficult? Because the person is trying by his own endeavor, by my yogic powers, by my performance of karma, by my performance of practice of Ashtanga Yoga, by my endeavors, by my powers, I will attain that a supreme destination. So they're depending on their own abilities. They have to cross an ocean of material existence. Prabhupada said even a strong swimmer, if he's in the ocean, he cannot swim across. It's difficult. So all these other processes are a struggle, because you're depending on your own ability. And what is the subject matter? You're fighting against the senses, you're fighting against Maya. Control. The subject matter is always the enemy. You're trying, that is the subject matter. But the devotee is completely the opposite. He doesn't even have to worry about controlling the senses. He doesn't have to worry about performing different asanas and sitting postures. He doesn't have to worry about knowledge. Yeah, he knows Krishna is the Supreme Person of Godhead. I'm his servant. He surrenders unto him. His whole attention is how I can please you, Krishna. That's all. That's all. How I can offer you, how I can serve you, Krishna. That's all. I am your servant. I should be engaged. I shouldn't be. If I'm your servant, why am I engaged in Ashtanga Yoga? Why am I engaged in Jnana Yoga? Why am I engaged in karma yoga? I should be serving you. Why am I engaged in all these different activities? My constitutional position, I am your eternal servant. I should be engaged in your service. And the devotee does that. Krishna says, I'll take care of you. Any karma you want, I'll take care of that. Any knowledge you want, I'll take care of that. Any perfections that you want, I'll take care of that. You just serve me, I'll take care of it. If you want these things, I can also give. If you don't want them, that's better. I'll simply take you back to Godhead anyway. And even if you do want these things and you're serving me, by that service, you will lose the desire to attain these material assets anyway. You'll become so attracted to my lotus feet. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, meditating on Vishnu. Like what, he wanted a kingdom greater than his father's. He actually was meditating on the Lord in the heart. He was perfecting his yoga system by the grace of Narad Muni. He met his guru, Narad Muni, told in the process, you have to meditate on Lord. He was meditating on Vishnu. Then his meditation broke and he opened his eyes and actually Vishnu was before him. The Lord, he was just right in front of him personally, he appeared before him. Of course, Dhruva Maharaj was overwhelmed, he couldn't speak. Then Vishnu touched him on the head with his shankar, empowered him to speak, and he offered very nice prayers. So he said, so Dhruva, you wanted a kingdom greater than your father's. I can give you. Dhruva said, don't deceive me, my Lord. I was simply begging for some pieces of broken glass. Now I've seen this great diamond. What do I need for these pieces of glass? Everything is useless now. I have the great treasure. So this is devotional service. Krishna gives himself to the devotees. He gives himself. He personally comes and picks them up from this ocean of birth and death. Prabhupada said he comes on Garuda. Who is that? Jayadev Goswami? Some great devotee. He was reading this verse. And he said, Krishna, Hosanna Prita, for him I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Who was it? Jayadev Goswami. He said, how can Krishna personally... Krishna says, I personally come and deliver him. How he can... No, he doesn't. How Krishna will come from this... No, he won't do that. He has so many agents he can send. So many different ways he can. How he can come himself to the material world. So he crossed the line. He struck it out with a red pencil. Later on he went to take his bath. And at that time two little boys come to the door and his wife answered the door. She saw the two beautiful little boys. One was a blackish color, one was whitish, and they had so much prasad, maha prasad, but they were crying. And she said, why are you crying? What are you doing? She said, well, your father gave us all this prasad to bring. He said, why are you crying? He said, beat us. He said, he beat us. No, my husband would never do that. He said, yeah, he beat us. He was beating the stick. You see on our back. They showed him their back. They had red marks on their back. And they said, anyway, you take this mark shot. And then they left. So they'd come back. And his wife said, why did you beat those little boys? They were so sweet. Why did you beat them? He said, what little boys? He said, two little boys you sent back with the prasad. I didn't see any little boys. I didn't give any prasad. No, they bought all this prasad back. Where is it? Who did you? I didn't see these. Yeah, they showed me. You beat. I didn't beat. They showed me their back. They showed they had red lines on their back where you beat them. And Jayadev said, I crossed out Bhagavad Gita with two red lines. They took it, Krishna took it on his back. It's personally Krishna. Krishna personally appeared here. You're so fortunate. You had the darshan of Krishna Balaram. And they called it his Vaikuntha Maha Maha Prasad. create the Prasad. So Krishna not only personally comes, he says, I personally, but Krishna is personally present here also in the Gita. This is non different than Krishna the Gita. Krishna's words are also non different. We shouldn't doubt it. His words are non different than Krishna. But still he personally comes and picks you up. That means he picks you up with his own hands. Krishna is so kind. So kind. Why? It's simply because what have you done? You just worship Krishna. You gave up your activities to Krishna. You were devoted to Krishna. You've got to be doing something anyway. You've got to be worshipping something. You've got to be eating something. You've got to be giving your activities to someone, something. You've got to be doing all these things anyway. So Krishna said, no, you just do it for me. You change your consciousness. You've got to be thinking of someone. 24 hours a day, you've got to be thinking of something. So it's not Krishna saying you have to do something really extraordinary, ultra human. No, be a human, but do your human things. Do it for me, that's all. He's not asking you to do some magic, impossible thing. You're doing it anyway, all these things. You're doing them anyway. So Krishna says, just do it for me, that's all. And what happens if you do that? What happens if you don't do that? Then you're stuck in this ocean of birth and death. That's all. And if you simply do this thing, Krishna says, no, I'll come, I'll deliver you from the ocean of birth and death. But you're doing them anyway. Just like Prabhupada said, you're very expert at sense gratification. Nobody's taking guru for sense gratification. That's natural, isn't it? Everybody has a natural inclination for, we know how to be happy. So Prabhupada says, you're experienced already. Now you simply give that to Krishna. We know what makes us happy. So let's do it for Krishna. That's all. We're experienced. Billions and billions of earth experience. Trying to get sense gratification. We know what pleases our senses in this material world. We know very well. So let's just give that to Krishna. Already we're experienced. Because Krishna likes pleasure. You see? Our business is to please Krishna. And we're experienced at getting pleasure. So let's give all our ideas and our pleasure-making ideas. Let's do it to please Krishna. Let's do it to serve Krishna. That'll please Krishna. That is what we're meant to be doing. This is what the purpose, whole purpose of creation is. My very existence, my very purpose of existing is for this purpose. The Vedic aphorism, God is one and he has become many. For his pleasure, we are the many. We are parts of God. Why? For pleasure. His pleasure, not our pleasure. But we are mistaking my pleasure. But it says his pleasure. So this is my very existence. It's like the mother and father, they expand as the children. Why? For pleasure. Then the household is very happy. When it's children. Otherwise, without children, the home is not so good. When the children are there, so they expand for pleasure. God is like that. He expands. Why? For pleasure, to enjoy a relationship with his children, with his parts and parcels. So therefore he enjoys Radharani, Balaram, cowboys, cow friends, cows, Mother Jasoda. He's enjoying pleasure with them. That is the purpose of their existence. It's the purpose, very purpose of our existence. The very purpose of life is pleasure, but Krishna's pleasure. And we are part of that purpose. Our purpose is meant to bring Krishna pleasure, that's all. But material world is perverted reflection. We see it upside down and we think it's for my pleasure. We see the perverted reflection. So then now I am the Lord. It's my house for my pleasure. My wife, my children, they're all for my pleasure. All the paraphernalia is for my pleasure. My activities, they're all. So then I become the center. I take Krishna's position. This is the position. Now what's happening in the material, everybody's taking Krishna's position. I am the center. Mamamati, I am the Lord of all I survey. And everything is mine to enjoy around me. It's a very limited idea, but still the conception of God is there in a very small space. I'd like to expand unlimitedly. I'd like to be as rich as possible. I'd like to be most beautiful, most powerful. Unfortunately, I'm not. But still, whatever I can get around me, that I'm the Lord of. Man or woman, same. Even the animals. They're very also proud of their little area they stay in. So, all the other processes, they're very difficult. Why? Because they're not situated in their constitutional position. Therefore, it's troublesome. Kama Yoga, Jnani Yoga, or just the bogey, the enjoyers, they're not situated properly in their constitutional position. Therefore, they're never satisfied, they're never happy. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakli Ashanta. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, no matter what you are in this life, you're not happy, you're not peaceful. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi, where do you want all these things? You want to enjoy the world, you want to be a yogi, you want to be a kami, a jnani. Shakli Ashanta, they're all Ashanta, they're not peaceful. Why? Because they all want something. The kami wants something, the jnani wants knowledge, the yogi wants city, the bogi wants material enjoyment. They all want, I want means I struggle. I want to maintain my house. It's a struggle, right? If I want a nice house, it's a struggle. I want a better one. It's more struggle. If I live beyond my means, it's a very, very hard struggle. And whatever you want, it's a struggle. So they all want something. Therefore, struggle. Struggle for existence. Therefore, not satisfied. Ashanta. But who is Shanta? Bhakta. The bhakta, he becomes a shanta. Why? Because he also wants something. Devotee is not desireless. Bhakta also, he wants something. But what does the bhakta want?
Pleasure of the world.
Yeah. The bhakta also wants pleasure. All the others want pleasure. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kamis. Their goal is pleasure. The devotee also wants pleasure. What is the difference? The devotee wants Krishna's pleasure. The others, they want my pleasure. Therefore, they're ashanta. Therefore, the bhakta, he is the only one who is shanta. Because he only wants Krishna's pleasure. He works for Krishna's pleasure. And what is the nature of that pleasure? It said that the pleasure of mukti, liberation, is compared to a drop of water into an ocean that comes from the devotional service of the Lord. Tasting the exchange, the relationship that the living entity has with Krishna, is compared to a whole ocean. And mukti is compared to a one drop, insignificant. So, the devotee wants Krishna's happiness. To what extent does he go for happiness? Krishna's happiness. He has his limitations? No, he doesn't have a limitation. He will go to any extent for Krishna's satisfaction. Any extent. Whatever it takes to please Krishna, he will do that. You know, one time Krishna had a headache. Narada Muni went to see him. What's the matter, Krishna? I got a headache. Ooh. How we can help you? The only thing that can cure my headache, you take the dust of my devotee's foot, you put it on my head, my headache will go. Oh, really? you are some devotee. Krishna went to the yogi, yogiji. Yogi was sitting there. Yogiji. Oh, Narad, what do you want? Krishna's got a headache. Oh my God, Krishna's got a headache. What do you want? He said, if you give the dust of your foot, then you put it on his headache will go away. What? You want me to put the dust of my feet on the Supreme Lord's head? You broke my meditation? Get away, Narad Muni. Nonsense. You broke my whole meditation simply for this offensive talk. Narad Muni went to see the Gyanis. Again, he was hey, Vyaniji. Oh, Naraji, what do you want? Krishna's got a headache. Oh, really? How we can serve him? He wants the dust of the lotus feet of his devotee and put it in his head. Really? Dust, pata, renu, charan, mukta. What? You want the dust of the feet on his head? Oh my God, you know what's going to happen? We're going to go to hell. We go to this lower planet. Oh, get away from me. You're going to destroy all my pious activities. All of my study will be ruined. Go away, Narad Muni. Rabashaki. So he was dissatisfied. What am I going to do? He went back to Krishna. He's like, nobody will give that dust, Krishna. They all said they're going to go to hell if they do that. He said, you go to Vrindavan and see the gopis, you ask them. They may be able to give. So Krishna went to Vrindavan. He said, hey, Naraji, did you see Krishna anywhere? He said, yeah, I just saw. You did? You saw Krishna? What was he doing? Please tell us everything about him. Yeah, I saw him. Yeah, what was he? But he's got a headache. Oh, no, my God. Krishna's got a headache. Oh, how we can serve him? What can we do to help Krishna? He said, Krishna. He said, the only thing that can help his headache is if you give the dust of your feet. Take it, Krishna. You have it all up.
How many clothes you
have? No, wait. You know what will happen if you put the dust of your feet on Krishna's head? You know what's going to happen? You're going to go to, we don't care. Take it. We don't kind of care going to hell. We don't care where we go. We only want Krishna's satisfaction. If he's got a headache, please put this dust on his head. We only care for Krishna's comfort. If he's satisfied, that's all we care. We don't care if we're in hell or not. Narad Muni said, oh, you really go to hell? We will go anywhere for Krishna's pleasure.
For one moment's sake,
for Krishna, we will do anything. And Narad went back and told him, he said, yes. This is the standard of devotion. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us in his Shikshastikam. What is that last verse? This verse is spoken by Srimati Radharani. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's incarnation, he's Radha, Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nayanya. He's come in the mood of Radha and the color complexion. He's Krishna, but he's in the mood of Radha. When he is speaking this is Radharani speaking to Krishna. That Krishna, you can embrace me and make me so happy. You may kick me away. You may never want to see me. Whatever you do, Krishna, I'll always remain your servant, life after life. Whatever makes you happy, you do that, Krishna. I'm simply a toy for you, Krishna. You can do exactly as you like with me. She said, Radharani said, Krishna, he treats me so badly sometimes. He makes me so jealous. Right in front of me, he approaches the other gopis. He upsets me like anything. He makes me so jealous. And I get angry and upset. And I say so many things to him. But somehow or another, Krishna enjoys this. He enjoys this, making me upset. He likes to see me cry. He's enjoying this. He likes to see me in this state of emotional state all up, worked up. He likes to see me like this. It brings him happiness. But if that brings Krishna happiness to see me in this completely distressed state, then I say that this distressed state is actually my greatest happiness. If Krishna likes to see me in this unhappy condition, then my condition of complete unhappiness and distress, that is my greatest happiness, because it's bringing Krishna pleasure. He enjoys seeing me. This is husband, boy and girl relationship. It's sometimes tease the girl to make her cry, because they want to see a different, out of love, they want to see a different feature. They want to see her angry or crying. So they sometimes tease like that to make them cry. This is a natural thing in the psychology of love. So Krishna's always doing this. And she's saying, this is my, I'm cast in the great ocean of grief and distress. But if it brings Krishna happiness, then this is, my distress becomes my greatest happiness. Why? Because it brings Krishna pleasure. This is my only existence. In fact, that's a fact. Haladini Shakti. Her only existence is to bring Krishna pleasure. And this is our situation. We are followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has come to teach this, the love that the gopis have for Krishna. He said there never was, and there never will be, equal, a process of devotion to Krishna than that was exhibited by the gopis of Vrindavan. And there never will be in the future. They surrendered everything to Krishna, everything. And we are following in these footsteps. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give this type of surrender to Krishna. How the inhabitants of Vrindavan just surrendered everything, their whole lives, everything to Krishna. They don't say one sentence without mentioning the name of Krishna in Vrindavan. And then Krishna leaves Vrindavan. And they're all thrown into an ocean of distress. Krishna said, Uddhava, you go to Vrindavan and take some message to console them. They're almost dead in anxiety from my separation. When you see my mother, he said, when you see Jasoda Devi, she simply sits there. She doesn't do anything. Actually, nobody does anything in separation from me. They don't bother to milk the cows. And also the cows don't bother to give milk. Nor do the cows bother to take milk. The village has become like stunned. He said, when you see my mother, Jasoda Devi, she is simply sitting there. She simply takes long breaths, sighs in. And when she breathes out, all she's saying, Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna. He says she takes very long breaths in. Because every time she breathes out, she's only saying, Ha Krishna. And it's so painful. I have to say that and remember Krishna. Therefore, she takes very long breaths in. Otherwise, existence is too painful. He said, when you see Radharani, you'll think she's dead. She's lying on the lotus petals because she's burning up. Her friends lay her on the lotus petals to keep her cool. The only way you know she's alive, there's a little pulse moving there. But you start to speak about me, and she will regain consciousness. This was the state of existence of the inhabitants of Vrindavan when Krishna left. They loved him so much and suddenly he left. Radharani said, why do you keep me in this suffering position? I will give up my life immediately. But the only reason I'm staying alive is because you promised you'll come back. There may be some hope you're coming back. But simultaneously you don't come back. Therefore you are killing me. I can't live and I can't die. When asked later on why Krishna was doing this, Krishna is saying, I do it simply to increase your love towards me. To see the affection you have for me. And to that it will simply increase. It's called absence. In the West they say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. When there is separation, then it makes the heart grow very much fonder. And so to increase that, then Krishna apparently separates himself. And finally he comes back. It's stated by Sanatana. Actually he came back after killing Dantavakra and Shishupala. Then Krishna actually came back to Vrindavan. Because he killed Dantavakra in Dwaraka, in Mathura. So on the plea of going there to kill Dandavakra and his brother Vidurat, because it was very close to Vrindavan, then he took the advantage and he went back to Vrindavan. And then again he assumed as it was before. And Yasoda was there and all the gopis. And the same activities went on. Rasleela, everything was going on just as before for about 3 months. And then the whole thing went back to Golok. Simultaneously, Krishna, Vasudeva left and went back to Dwarka to wind up the other with Dwarka pastimes also. So there was apparent separation from the devotees, but the whole thing was to increase their loving. Krishna wanted to see their love for him and increase their love for him. And his love for them was also increased by seeing their state of existence. Now they didn't know anything about Krishna. So this is the state of existence that the inhabitants of Vrindavan have. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give. So, it's not difficult. In fact, it's quite natural. Because Krishna is Madana Mohan. The whole world is attracted to Cupid. Means the sex desire of this material world. This is the influence of Cupid. Throwing the arrows in the heart between the boys and girls. Very, very attractive. But Krishna is Madan Mohan. He attracts millions and millions of Cupids. The whole world is attracted to Cupid. But Krishna is so beautiful. He attracts millions and millions of Cupids. So this is who we are dealing with. When we actually do all these things Krishna is saying, think of him, become his devotee. Then he says he reveal himself. When you see that beautiful form, then everything is finished material. Finished. Krishna is so attractive. The very name Krishna means all attractive. And when we become attracted to that form, then materially we are finished. Everything is finished. So it's not something that's artificial that we are trying to do. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind, as Prabhupada says. It's the natural state of the living entity. The only thing is we've forgotten. We've forgotten Krishna. We've forgotten the beauty of Krishna. We've forgotten the dealings of Krishna. Completely. And we're bound up in this world of Maya. So Krishna is trying to wake us up again to our original position. That's why he's saying these things. You worship me, give everything up to come to me. Why? Because you'll be the greatest benefiter. Krishna is not, when he's saying all these things, it's not that he needs any servants. He's come here to get some servants. Lakshmi Saharasya Sata Sambram. He's got millions and millions of goddesses of fortune serving. And he can create billions and billions more just like that if he wants. He doesn't need servants, so he's not coming here canvassing for servants. Please come back, but become my devotee, do this, do this. He doesn't need servants. He's doing it for our benefit. This is what you need. You need my. You need that relationship that you've forgotten. It's already there. The relationship is already there. Now it's simply covered by this maya, illusion. So Krishna consciousness, we're not trying to achieve some position. We're simply trying to clean all the dirty things of the heart so our natural position becomes manifested. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. It's already there in the heart. It's simply covered. Now I think my relationship is with my wife, my family, my husband, my son, my children, my country. But I'm not this body. If I'm not this body, what is my country? Who is my wife? Who is my husband? But I've got so many relationships now. This is all dirty thing. Moila. Chetotarpana marjanam. Clean all these dirty things. What is that dirty thing? I am a man. I'm a Hindu. Who is thinking like that? I'm an Indian. None of you ever think like that? I am a woman. Do you ever think like that? So this is moila. This is all dirty thing in the heart. So, chetotarpana marjanam, clean all this dirty thing by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is spiritual soap. You're using the soap to clean your body externally. So, clean the heart, you have the spiritual soap, Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna. Cleans all the dirty things off, all the misidentification. When that's all gone, then the real identification is revealed. It's not something we're trying to attain, a position. It's already there. Clean all the dirty things out. And what's left? What's left? You. You are and as a lover of Krishna, you and Krishna. And your loving relationship. That's what's left. That is our constitutional position. That is eternal. Krishna said, we are eternal. The situation is eternal. It's simply become covered. So this is Krishna's message. Don't hang around in this moila place. No place for a gentleman, bro. You go to the moila, you do your business, you get out quickly, right? Nobody lingers around. So this material world is like that. Do your business quickly and get out. Go back to Krishna. Don't hang around. So this is the blissful life of Krishna consciousness. So it's not all that, oh, Krishna seems to be saying, sarvadhanam prityaja, give up, oh, give up, give up. What does that mean? It doesn't sound very interesting. You know, I got to give up, I got to go to God, I got to surrender. It seems like he wants to take something, but he doesn't want to take. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you that eternal love, that eternal beauty, eternal youth. That is there in the spiritual, that is your natural birthright. It's your natural existence. That's what he wants to give you. And he wants to take away all this false identification. You're rotting in this material world, facing birth and death again and again, and it's a horrible position. Getting old, diseased, dying, taking birth again and again and again. Somehow or another we like it. Krishna's coming to wake us up, to take us out of this position. So he doesn't want servants, nor is he demanding that we come back as his slave. He's giving us, giving. He wants us to be happy. It is natural. And Prabhupada says, it, out of parental affection, Krishna will come riding on Guru. Because we're his sons. What sane father, if he saw his seat, he left his home and he was loitering on the street with no money, would allow him to stay there? Naturally, he would come back. You're a rich man's son. You've forgotten. Your father is a very rich man. Why are you loitering on the street? You have no money. He may have forgotten this. But if you go and remind him, you know, Why are you loitering on the street like this? You have a rich father. Well, Krishna is like that. Why are you loitering on the street of this material existence? It's street kids. Some pretty fancy streets up there in the heavenly planet. Some pretty horrible streets also down in the lower planets, you know. The Adiyoja and the Mall Street, and you're beaten and whipped and things like that. But street kid, whether you're in heaven or you're in hell, you're a street kid. Because you've left home. That's all. And we're quite proud of our position. You're all street kids. We don't belong here, we belong with Krishna. Krishna's so kind, he said, I will personally come and I'll pull you back. Angaruda, he is saying, I'll personally come and if you just do these little things, think of me, worship me, offer your food to me, that's all. Just a few little things you do. Krishna, I'll personally come, I'll pull you. I'll take you by the hand, you can touch his hand. Krishna is so kind. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.
Jai.
Bhagavan Sri Krishna ki.
Jai.
Sri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.
Bangalore Yatra ki.
Jai.
Itai go Premanandi.
Jai.
Thank you very much. Shri Krishna.
Jai.
Any question or comment? Happy to go home quickly to God. Okay.
So all the time, like to satisfy the Lord in the first day, but in the same, sometimes the Lord is also wanting to satisfy the Lord. And like one day to sleep, he can then give the sample taste and all the things that are stored for him.
Keen competition going on between Krishna and his devotees. Who will please more?
Yes, constant competition.
And Krishna is always the winner. Please do Arati.